August 19th, 7 o'clock. Welcome, everybody, to this Board of Education meeting here at Roosevelt Middle School. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Mrs. Avalos?
Here.
Mr. Davis?
Here.
Mrs. DeGracias is not here. Mrs. Hickey?
Here.
Mr. Moore?
Here.
Dr. Thompson is not here. Ms. Williams?
Here.
And there's Dr. Thompson.
Number sounds promising.
If you just say yes, you're in. Okay.
Okay. Next item is to recognize visitors and invite comments from the public. Is there anyone here signed up to speak? I see we have four people signed up.
Start reading.
Okay. All right. Sheba Chipmunk. Can we just kind of talk about parameters for public speaking?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So public comment protocols. Each speaker has about 3 minutes or so to speak. Obviously, if that time expires while you're speaking, please, of course, feel welcome to finish your thoughts. Speakers are asked to give their name, and they're welcome to give their address, but that is not required. And I'm grateful for anyone who's here tonight. So.
Thank you all for coming in to speak. Sheba?
Hi, my name is Sheba Chiblunka. I think I know most of you guys on the board, some of my neighbors. So I've been here for 15 years in the Little Forest, but since the past 5 years, actually 3 years, I've become more part of the school community after my daughter started school, and that's brought me closer to the community members. But over the years, I've noticed that the demographics have changed. You know, lots of new families have moved in. Little Forest, I think, traditionally, if I'm not mistaken, was white, conservative, and one parent stay at home. But definitely that's not what's happening now. And the needs of the community have changed now. And I want the board to recognize that. And I am petitioning the board to bring up as a standalone agenda for lunch programs after school and before school activities.
Thank you.
So Brittany Buckhorn, I'm not going to stand if that's okay. I live at 1235 Ashland, which is right across the street from Willard, which is one of the reasons I moved here. 3 years ago, I have a daughter who's going into second grade and a son who's just started kindergarten. And from my personal experience, when I moved here, it was for the schools. That's what we prepare for. And the thought that schools did not have any, that there were no before and after school programs or no lunch or none of these types of services was a complete shock to me. It didn't even occur to me to look into it, just because where I come from, that's the norm. It's not even a question. So right now I live across the street from Willard. I take my kids every morning to the RFCC and they have to take a bus for a half hour back to Willard. So before school care and after school care would be really helpful to my family, and we put together a survey, kind of like a petition, to see if other families would also benefit from these services. And we got 295 student responses, or 181 family responses. 271 students have parents who would like to purchase lunch, 224 would need aftercare, and 159 students are in need of before school care. So like Sheba said, the demographics are changing. There's definitely a need in our community for these services, and we would like to have the board consider these as part of your agenda.
Hi, I'm Diana Huggins. I live at 743 William Street, and I'm also here to support exploring these same initiatives within the school district. Sheba and Brittany have talked about. I'm a parent of a first grader, and I also have a four-year-old and a two-year-old who will eventually be attending Lincoln. As a first grader, we've kind of figured out our aftercare situation for the year. I'm a teacher, so I can get to her by 4 p.m., which last year meant picking her up from the aftercare program at the community center at 4. And this year means kind of doing similar things, however, kind of putting her on the bus for about half an hour, from what I understand, and then just picking her up when she gets off the bus and putting her in my car. So that kind of understanding just led me to think know, how can we talk about what are some other possible solutions? As a teacher, I've worked for 17 years in both urban and suburban K through 8 districts, and I've seen just kind of the vibrancy that comes from kids being able to not only stay after school for programs, but do it in such a way that, you know, it's also intended as a way to be on-site care for them. So if they're going to a program that's enriching that a teacher provides, or something that's contracted with an off-site organization to provide something that students at the school can take advantage of, they can then also stay at the school and attend aftercare or similarly before. And I think that's really an opportunity for the schools to, you know, reach all students, especially those that may need care until later than 4 or 4:30. I'm not exactly sure how long clubs go. So I think that's a really big opportunity. And so I just wanted to kind of express those thoughts.
I think I'm the last one.
Yeah.
I'm Megan Costello. I live at 8125 Lake. And I'd just like to publicly just support the idea that we very much like that before and after care for our students, and a purchased lunch program. Something we would like to be revenue neutral for the school. We aren't looking to add cost or to disrupt the PTO funding for the PTOs that work with the schools. But we feel like there's a need in the community that hasn't been met, and we feel like there may be capacity at the schools to at least look into it and potentially offer programs for parents to do. And our just snapshot, it wasn't a scientific survey by any means. We reached out to people through Facebook. We reached a lot of families, and we reached families that represented almost a school's worth of students, most of whom were interested in at least one of those options. So I do feel like these would be programs that potentially could pay for themselves. So we'd very much like to encourage you to.
Is there anyone else who wanted to speak? Okay. Well, thank you all for coming out tonight and bringing this issue to the Board of Education. I know that all 7 of us are willing to, you know, put this on a future agenda to discuss. At this point, it's not on our agenda tonight to discuss, but we appreciate you bringing them forward. Is there anything? And I also know that we have a strategic planning process, you know, that's in the works for this year. Is there anything you want to add to that?
About strategic plan?
About the strategic, you know, issues that might, you know,
sure,
be considered by the community.
You know, it is very much of the type that could be the focus of a strategic plan initiative. District 90 has, over the last couple of cycles, done a strategic plan every 5 years. And one of the great advantages of the process is that it's brought together different stakeholders and constituents, and helped really to foment those issues that are most important and gather support behind them. So, you know, the downside of a strategic planning process, of course, is that it's time consuming. Typically, our strategic planning processes have taken 3 to 4 months from implementation, or excuse me, from establishment to board approval and then subsequent implementation. But, you know, in the past we've had teams that are comprised of parents, faculty, staff, River Forest residents, students, administrators. And when you have that kind of cross-section, it does help to elicit the issues that are really front of mind for different stakeholder groups. And I think, as importantly, when those issues surface and are validated by a strategic planning process, it gives, I think, not only the board, but the district as a whole and the community some confidence that this isn't an item or an issue that's just important to a small cross-section of people, but has broader significance.
Or being decided by a small, even smaller group of people.
Well, that's true.
The strategic planning process that we went through 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago.
Right.
We're going to continue again. It's really been a guiding document, and has brought those issues to us. So,
I think we do need to say that we are happy to look at it, but we do need your patience, because we want to look at it thoughtfully and make sure that we collect the best information to make what I think are some significant decisions in terms of allocating resources and finding the right ways to answer these needs and finding out whether there's something that we feel, you know, that we can do. But I think we're all happy to look, but we do ask you to be a little patient with us, because the strategic planning process will take a while. And then figuring out the right way to get the kind of information that drives a good decision is a little bit time consuming. So I think all of us would ask your patience on that, am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Moving on through the agenda here, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Dr. Thompson?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mrs. Hickey?
Yes.
Mrs. DeGrassis?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mrs. Avalos?
Yes.
Any communications for the board?
We have a couple of cards that I'll read. This one says to Ed Condon, thank you so much for your unwavering support of Jan and for the lovely flowers. To thank you for your kindness and sympathy at a time when it was deeply appreciated, from the family of Jan Morgan. We have a second card addressed to the district. Dear friends, thank you so very much for the beautiful flowers you sent honoring my dad. This is from Mrs. Hickey. You timed their arrival beautifully.
They came.
My handwriting is famous for looking great and being completely illegible.
They came after flowers from the funeral had faded. Yours have sat on my kitchen counter, keeping your kind thoughts close
to me all
to
week.
Me all week. I am so grateful for your special kindness. Working with all of you is one of my greatest pleasures, and I treasure your friendship. Finally, Barb, Rich, Rick, Betsy, Kelly, Sean, Anderson, Marcus, and Young family. Yes, thank you. It's a lovely card.
Thank
you
so very much.
Well, thank you, guys. And then one final card addressed to Dr. Condon and the Board of Education. Perhaps you sent a lovely card or sat quietly in a chair. Perhaps you sent those beautiful flowers that we saw sitting there. Perhaps you spoke the kindest words as any friend could say. Perhaps you were not there at all, just thought of us all day. Whatever you did to console our hearts, we thank you so much for whatever your part. We greatly appreciate your overwhelming support and love and generosity. The family of Elizabeth Patsy Garvey.
Thank you. Next, we have the consent agenda. The consent agenda includes minutes, special meeting, and Board of Education meeting of July 15, 2019, payrolls, orders relating to payrolls, treasurer's report, and bills.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Mrs. Avalos?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mrs. DeGrassis?
Yes.
Mrs. Hickey?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Dr. Thompson?
Yes.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
If I could just interrupt for a second, thank you for approving that consent agenda with the very first treasurer's report under the new accounting system.
Yeah, it was fun.
We're still working out whatever kinks. I don't know if the format will change, but there will be some enhancements at some point in time. So thanks for your patience.
Thank you for your stewardship through that process. We have board committee reports. Education committee, Dr. Thompson.
No recent meeting.
All right, summertime reports. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Personnel report.
We'll get to that a little later.
Policy.
We also have a short one later. First read.
Okay. Finance, Mr. Davis.
Treasurer's report, some accounting. We have some distributions that we voted on last meeting. They went through, and I just wanted to say a few things. Last Wednesday, you know, we had a retreat or something like that. So I bought Mrs. Gutierrez a sandwich for lunch. I bought Anthony a sandwich too. So I got back for the retreat, and she gave me a card. I'm like, wow, what's this from? Thought it was from something else, but I guess she's just an organized woman that carries around cards. And the card said, thank you very much for everything. We're in kind of a busy season right now, and it's just good to be appreciated. That's all it said, simply like that. And then later on, Anthony thanked me for a sandwich too. But so
I didn't have a card.
Manners are important.
So, this, So at this point in time, we want to thank Anthony for excellence, 26 years in a row since before he was here, and you know, just tell him we're grateful for him and thank him. And whenever you see someone, everyone, you see your children's teacher or administrator or something, after you tell them hi and ask them how they're doing, just make sure you say thank you, because we are grateful that they're here.
Anthony,
so
yes.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
Fiscal responsibility.
I'll see that later.
Priceless. Priceless. The Equity Committee has not met since our last report. Is that correct, Steve?
That is correct.
And facilities?
No, nothing new to report. We have not met.
Lots of stuff going on this summer, all coming together. Communications, Ms. Avalos?
We have not met, but there is an item on the agenda that Don prepared.
And the Ad Hoc Gender Inclusion Committee has not met since our last report either. Outside meetings, Council of Governments has not met. OPRF High School Community Council
has not met.
Meeting on September 12th is their next meeting, right? And Youth Network Council, Barb, Stacy.
Coming up. We haven't heard from them yet, but they usually begin the meeting in September. So I expect this date is probably the right one.
Board Liaison, District PTO Council, Barb?
Have not heard from them yet either, but I expect I will soon. They're a busy group.
Kickoff. The Inclusiveness Advisory Board.
We've not met over the summer, but the meeting is September.
Moving right along. These meetings always go this way, right? The River Forest Civic Association?
Next meeting in the fall.
Okay. Citizens Corps Council?
Let's see, their next meeting is in the fall as well.
West Cook Governing Board, we'll set a date for the fall. Ed Red Finance Legislation?
I think the meeting's in November, isn't it?
November, the luncheon's in October, and then the first kickoff meeting's November.
And the River Forest Subcommittee on Collaboration
also has not met.
Positive Youth Development Committee.
They actually did meet. I was not able to attend, but their new initiative is to put together a town hall to talk about the impact of marijuana is going to become legal, and they want to assemble a group of leaders from the community to talk about what the implications of this might be. Positive Youth Development's particular interest is in the physical impact of marijuana on young people, about which we know more and more, and most of it isn't good. And we want to make sure that people are given a chance to understand what some of the risks and challenges are. We've seen some of the same kinds of challenges with vaping, which is particularly lethal for young people, but has not been well understood. And we've reacted to that by, we are incorporating into, I believe, the health curriculum, Ed, a program to educate the kids on what the risks of vaping will be. And Positive Youth Development will be looking at that also with marijuana in mind. And although it will become legal in 2020, it will take a little while for all of it to hit, because there will have to be rules made about where dispensaries are and how things will be, how access will be controlled. But I think Positive Youth Development is aware that marijuana is not what it used to be. It used to be more innocuous than it is now, and you used to smoke it, and it wasn't as strong. And now there are many different ways to access it, some of which make it look much less dangerous to young people than it really is. So Positive Youth Development is going to be doing a lot of talking about that, and I believe, I do not remember the date right off the top of my head for that town hall, but I know we will be putting it on the D90 website and encouraging people to attend. because I think it will be an important conversation. And we hope it'll be the beginning of many conversations. So that's what Positive Youth Development is up to.
Great, thank you for that. The Tri-Board Equity Committee has not met, and I will be communicating with the other boards to kind of hammer out and keep that ball moving forward. District calendar review.
Yes, well, it all points towards the start of school. We're excited about welcoming our faculty and staff back on Monday. So hats off to Brenda, one of our RFEA co-presidents. It's nice to see you tonight. We have Teacher Institute on Monday and Tuesday next week. Of course, students return on Wednesday, so we're excited to see them. Our next Board of Ed meeting will be held on September 23rd. And the CAL meeting on September 3rd, which will be down in the Roosevelt LLC, is around a topic that's in front of mind for a lot of people. It's on safety and security in District 90, and we'll highlight the work that the Safety Review Plan Committee has been doing over the course of the last 18 months or so, and of course allow for community interaction with the board as well, questions, feedback, things like that.
And that will be held where in Roosevelt?
I'm sorry. It should be in the Roosevelt Auditorium. Thanks for the question. So,
over the past couple of years, we were committed to improving communication and making communication a conduit, not just one way pipeline of information. So the town halls that we committed to four town hall forums where our cows are presentations to the public, but we will elicit information, and safety being number one on our radar. It is September 3rd for the Committee of the Whole, and we talk about safety, and we hope to hear from the community at that board meeting. Should be a healthy crowd. And yeah, and Mimi opened up her schedule and looked at her Roosevelt teachers too, so we're excited at the Moore family 8th grade schedule. And where are we at? Superintendent's report.
Okay, so the first item we have, only one action item this evening in addition to personnel, which is later tonight, is the second, and I'm guessing last round of permissive transfer requests. To give some background on this, Board of Ed policy, as I'm sure the board recalls, allows for families who have had some type of movement in the district where their children would attend the other school to appeal to the Board of Ed for consideration that the child might be able to stay at the home elementary school. And if that doesn't impact enrollment negatively or require the district to hire additional teachers or other staff, in the past the board has always historically supported that. So we just have those two permissive transfers this evening. And of course, we keep the children's identity, family identity, confidential, but we'd ask the board to approve those fees tonight.
Can I have a motion to approve the permissive transfer?
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Dr. Thompson?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mrs. Hickey?
Yes.
Mrs. DiGrassi?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mrs. Evans?
Yes.
Okay, and our first information item tonight is the second draft of the proposed tentative budget. Anthony, would you be willing to speak to that, please?
Yes, if you look, see in page 71 of your board packet, the second draft of the 1920 budget includes changes since the previous version, and as we've done many years in a row now, the changes are shown in a larger font size and in bold. So without going through all the individual ones pages, unless you have questions about it, the education fund receipts increased by $3,000, mainly from the result of ISBE updating the evidence-based funding model, giving us a couple extra $1,000, as well as some drama fee increase to drama fees. The education fund expenditures increased by $42,500 since last month. This was due actually to a decrease in salary and benefit information from the most recent hires of $1,000. And you can say, well, if there's new hires, how did it go down? Well, remember, we had some placeholders in there at what we figured is an average salary amount, and some of the new hires came in at less than that, as well as their related benefits. There was an increase in some tort safety-related expenditures of $9,000. some health clerk pupil services of $4,500, and then the total board management service for the upcoming strategic planning of $30,000. As a result, the education fund balance decreased by $39,500, the net of those two. Since there were no other changes in any other fund, the cumulative effect of those changes on the total ending fund balance across all funds is a decrease of $39,500. We have a second review of the budget here tonight, as you can see. They'll remain tentative and proposed until the board is adopted by you in September. It's going on public display this Friday and will be on public display for the 30 days, ending on the day that it's set to have the budget hearing before the board meeting. And that there is a notice that's in the paper that will be going out in this Thursday's Forest Leaves, talking about that budget hearing that happens before the board meeting. So if you have any questions, I'll be here to answer.
Does that mean we're here at 6:30 at the next business meeting, right?
That's correct.
Any questions about changes or second draft? Thank you very much. Okay. Next item.
All right, so the next item is an enrollment update. The board, of course, has enrollment statistics in the board packet. This report actually is a noteworthy for a couple of reasons, but predominantly because for the first time, I think, at least in the last 8 years that I've worked in D90, we have a higher anticipated, based on current numbers, enrollment expected at Willard than at Lincoln. So the construction that the board approved recently at Willard was a good decision and has ensured that we have adequate space for all those youngsters. Now, in fairness, that statistic's a little misleading because Willard counts include the early childhood program students, so they aren't actually many of them in the building. They're either at the community center, but some of them are. So anyway, that's kind of an interesting and noteworthy event. Total district enrollments continue to be strong. They range kind of in mid-space between the medium and the high estimates on the CASARDA geodemographic enrollment report, looking currently at 1,437 students. Enrollment for the coming year at Roosevelt is sitting at 666, at Lincoln 380, and at Willard 381. Grade levels that we are keeping a weather eye on based upon sections, class sizes, continue to be, as is often the case, fourth grade at Lincoln and also at Willard, and then also second grade at Willard. We've had a number of recent enrollments at that grade level. So, however, at the moment, all of the class sizes fall within our tolerance ranges for the procedures that we use for class size guidelines. So, in a perfect world, you typically don't want to have to hire additional teachers this late in the year, of course, because then it does require you to reallocate sections of students, and especially once they receive schedules. That's not your preference. So we're in a good shape at the moment.
So we're four over last year's total.
At the moment, yes. Yes, and that's with this. August is also important because by this point in the year, of course, we've typically had all of our withdrawals. You know, we've received requests for records from other receiving schools and things like that.
And the new residency verification processes.
It's been going very well. I'd like to thank two people, if I may, particularly our registrar, Josephine Roboto, and Angie Davis, who is one of our contracted employees. The two of them have really made that successful this year. The good news is somewhere between 70 and 80% of families through the use of this process have not had to submit their residency documents because we've been able to determine them online electronically. So I think that's much more convenient for families. And in those rare percentage of cases, there's probably 2-3% of cases where the residency information that's come back initially hasn't corresponded with what we would have expected. In the vast majority of those situations, we've been able to suss out what the problem is. Admittedly, there have been one or two situations that have also come forward where we've had to contact families where they've been identified as non-residents and inform them that unfortunately we can't enroll their child for the coming year, which would not have been possible without the process. So we hate to do that, but of course we're charged with ensuring that River Forest District 90 is only enrolling students that sleep in our school district, and that's a charge from the taxpayers. So while it's a difficult thing, you know, we're trying to continue to make it easier.
So it sounds like it's a good quality assurance component of the registration
well
process.
That was much more succinct.
Both
better said than I.
Both, you know, with helpfulness to parents and families, and also cross-checking everything.
Accuracy.
Yeah.
Very definitely.
I feel like we were just here talking about all the things we were going to do over the summer to prepare for this school year, and here we are. So school opening preparations?
Yes. Well, so our students, of course, our students are coming. The two things I really like to acknowledge at this point and kind of give the board some informal feedback about are the work on the facilities that has all been targeted toward opening the school. Our maintenance team, led by Anthony, and our engineers, has really worked hard to ensure that our buildings are clean, that they're safe, that the upgrades that the board has approved are in play. Some of those things are things that will be bright and obvious to kids and staff when they return. Others are subtle, nuanced, and probably not all that exciting. I'm not so sure when anyone was ever excited about spending money on things like roofs and, you know, cleaning and but that's important to ensure that our buildings remain safe. And again, at the CAL meeting, we'll be talking explicitly about the safety upgrades that were made, of which there were many in advance of the start of the school year. The other thing I wanted to focus on for the board, because you've been very supportive here too, is the ongoing professional development and training that our faculty has had exposure to. Everything from the last day of school, where our teachers across the board had that pretty robust UDL training, to multiple days of standards-based learning. We had special education teachers that of their own volition attended Easter Seals training to expand their work and their knowledge about how they can support kids. Teachers College Reading Program is actually hosting institute training this week. We had 40 faculty members who came in this morning and I think had a really productive day. So the ongoing training that our faculty and staff receive is high quality. I think it says a lot about our faculty that they continue to want to refine themselves over the summer and they participate willingly and enthusiastically. And it'll make teaching and learning that much stronger for our students in the fall.
Well, you can plan all the professional development you want. If they don't come, it makes no difference. So the fact that so many of our teachers participate over the summer is a testament to how great our teachers are. See the organized chaos that's going on
yes,
here
this
too.
Is, this is
all over the
space
place,
where
you know.
The Reading Institute is going on this week, so there's artifacts lying around all over the place. So we can make
good
space for the board meeting tonight. So.
All right, so Triple I Conference for board members, that's has been scheduled now. It's November 22nd to the 24th. We put some information in your packet about some of the sessions that will be highlighted and the workshops that are available. If you are available to attend and would like to, please contact Tracy. She'll also do some outreach to you. Particularly for those maybe that are newer on the board, it's nice to know there are a couple of different ways you can engage in this conference. Depending upon your availability and your interests. The full-day workshops are nice if there's a specific area that you'd like to learn and develop. And they're always hosted by high-quality presenters across the state who are really knowledgeable. We have a presenter in the area of finance, actually, in our midst, who presents every year at a well-attended workshop.
I'm going now.
It's not on there.
You can go and stand in the back and heckle them, too, if you want. That's always fun. But the other nice thing is that board members, if you wish, can also go to the open sessions. And several of our board members
they're
have done
interesting
that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's nice because each one is, what, anywhere from 45 minutes to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And you can get a number of them. And, of course, it's hosted from a Friday all the way through Sunday. And while it's hard, I know, our board members oftentimes give a lot of their own private time and are away from families. It's nice that gives you some options, too, about trying to
I've attended at least twice, and it's always benefited my knowledge base. I know that other board members have gone, so
it's always
I'm
good
glad
to talk
that
to people on other school boards.
We're a learning board.
We really don't generally have a chance to do.
Right.
And you can't miss the fact that it's just a Green Line's ride away. So many people have to travel so far from downstate to come to this. We're very blessed to just down the road.
Homage to new teachers.
Yes, so that was really the third issue. I didn't spend too much time on that before, but board members will have in their packet the agenda for the new teacher mentoring that began today. Recruiting and hiring is probably the third leg of the stool that's engaged our faculty, or excuse me, our administrators and our staff over the summer. Hiring high quality faculty is obviously one of the most important things we do. And today, our new teachers joined us for their first session. First session, actually, to kick off the day this morning was with the National Equity Project. Juana Legria was here, and it was a great day of learning. They also had the opportunity to spend the afternoon with our tech specialist and learn a little bit about some of the platforms that they'll be using to support learning with D90. Tomorrow, they have kind of a nuts and bolts day, learning everything from, you know, how to make sure that their personnel and their payroll obligations are doing that. Talk a little bit about everything from substitutes to budget, supplies, purchasing. Maybe not the most exciting aspects of teaching.
Wellness, how to keep yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then our RFEA co-presidents also will have a chance to come meet with them and talk, which is very nice. There's a luncheon hosted tomorrow. We'll have collaboration time between new teachers and their mentors scheduled in the afternoon, and then time, of course, with the principals and the schools. So certainly a lot going on. Special ed staff will also be receiving training on multi-tiered systems of support and AIMS Web. So important elements. River Forest Public Schools District 90 has now been recognized, as Cal said, for 26 out of 27 years for excellence in financial reporting. This is a determination that's made by the Association of School Business Officials International, which is really the organization that's, I think, the gold standard in monitoring the way in which school business officials conduct school district operations with transparency and integrity. And the award is actually given for the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, which is a document that all school districts are required to create. It's, frankly, it's about the size of a book, outlining everything from, of course, revenues and expenditures to the financial side of district operations. And I'm really proud to share this with the board and community tonight. Very largely, the credit for this, not just this year, but over time, has rested with our Director of Finance and Facilities, Anthony Cozy. He has a small, very small, but very mighty couple of colleagues, of course, who work with him, Jolie and Liliana, and the three of them together are responsible for pretty much all of the financial interactions that this and operations that this district has. So I'm really proud of the district for the acknowledgement. It means an awful lot, and I hope it means a good bit to the community that they know they can count on our transactions being conducted openly and with integrity, but I wanted to make sure that credit was also given where it's due. So Anthony, thank you very much.
I'll accept any medium alpine, no tomato, any kind
of. We'll be paying you in
go for the 18 months. Why not? Just bring it home.
No lettuce.
Well, and you remembered that, Cal. Tomato. That's impressive.
Thank you, Anthony, again, for
thank
your stewardship.
Thank you for the terrific work that you do for us, Anthony. We really do appreciate it.
And it's not just this agency or ourselves that assure that, you know, our fiscal house is in order. We are audited every year, and our auditors also give us accolades, and so that's I don't think they're supposed to even give those out, but the auditors even say we're doing a great job. So.
And it's not only the competency, it's the he's just a pleasure to work with, too.
Oh, boy, now you're going to have a mind.
We have to interact a lot with the facilities, and, you know, he's just always brings his A game, and I appreciate it.
Nowhere to go but down.
And so it begins.
All right.
So, all right.
Okay. So we're going to tell them about us now, yeah.
We have some first reading policy.
We do, and I can't imagine just a more exciting transition to policy. You know, Stacy, I don't know if you had wanted to say anything up front.
I will let you walk through. I think this is relatively painless. We'll have Ed walk us through the changes. A lot of them are legal references, some minor updating of language. I'll chime in with a comment or two as we go.
Absolutely. And they are, I don't want to minimize the importance of policy because, of course, this is the guiding, what am I trying to say? The guidelines for how the board conducts
the
governance.
For how do we
absolutely. So it is important. We have to get them right. So tonight, though, largely we're dealing with policy updates that are based upon either legal reference changes or, in some cases, footnotes. So it really isn't all that exciting. And that's not typically the case in the summer. Usually in the fall, we start to receive press policy updates that are based upon legal changes from the spring legislative session. But the stuff we get in June is usually cleanup, so that's no surprise. Tonight, it's fair to say, I guess, Stacy, that everything that's coming before the board, she and I were recommending as presented. We're prepared to answer questions about any of them, but I think to go through them with a fine-tooth comb seems a bit much.
I agree. The only thing I will jump in and say is that the one I will ask board members to pay particular attention to before we vote at our second read is 2140 and the exhibit that goes with it. And I know all of us have gone through the Open Meetings Act training, but this lays out in pretty good detail, I think, how we are expected to conduct communications with each other, what the rules and regulations are, particularly about electronic communication. So I would just ask board members to just really read carefully through them, make sure we all understand what is expected of us, what's allowed by law, etc., so that by the time we vote this in, any questions can be addressed.
Well, reading this policy reminds us that of the protocol in terms of communication from the public via email to board members, that we would be in violation of the Open Meetings Act if we responded in kind to all.
And I think Ed does a very good job of
the and Ed does an excellent job in explaining that and replying to the public in their email, saying that we as a board, individuals on the board, cannot respond via or because of the Open Meetings Act or violation thereof. The board member alert, is that something that we are going to, is there some kind of, because it says we should have some board member alert when you respond, is that something you're planning on doing, or is it just, I don't need it, but.
My read of that was that we would continue to follow your protocol, where if an individual, and for folks in attendance in the audience, this would be pertaining to, if you had an individual from the community who wanted to send one email to the entire Board of Education at the same time, that's where it gets complex. Board members are always able to respond individually to any community member, but if they were to inadvertently hit reply all, now there's a potential violation of the Open Meetings Act in which business is being conducted outside of the normal course of business and in a private way. So that's the danger that we're trying to avoid. What happens typically in D90 if someone wants to send a message to all board members is there's a link where someone can click that. It goes to all seven board members and then is copied to me. And our Board of Ed's protocol in the past has been to ask me to respond to the individual, letting them know that all board members have received their message, that board members certainly can respond to them individually, but then if they have further questions, the suggestion would be that they connect with me or an individual board member to follow up. So in the past, what we've done is we've blind copied our board on that, so they have confidence also that the public's message has been responded to, and I think that would serve as the notification alert to the board that there was response and action by the administration.
Thank you. And the other question is on, I forget what number it is, the compensatory, what is the change in that policy?
Would that be 535, compliance with fair labor standards?
Sorry, that, I see like the highlight in pink, and then sometimes, and then it's,
115.
It's actually page 115 in the packet.
Yes, and it's legal references. That's the actual.
It's just the
only change.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Good. Everything else in that policy is current practice.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You know, there is, in addition to Stacy's comment, it's interesting we have so much public participation tonight, actually, at the board meeting, because one of your revisions is to policy 2:230, and I had gotten a question about that already. Really, the intent of the change in policy 2:230 is to ensure that boards who adopt this policy aren't closing public comment prematurely. By setting that 30-minute recommended timeline for a topic, it helps to ensure that if you were to have something where the community were to come out in mass, you know, no board is going to shut down public comment without there being at least a cursory time for the community to speak their mind.
The language made a lot of sense in terms of making sure that the public's voice is heard while also moving board business forward.
So, and that comports with this board's past practice. You know, obviously this is not a board that does not value community input, but Press works with 860 districts across the state, so.
Okay. Moving on, proposal summary sheet.
Yes, so we were hoping to garner some feedback from the board on these documents. I wanted to thank Allison for being kind of a thought partner with this. She put pen to paper on these, but just a couple of different iterations of maybe a potential way in which the administration could bring something forward to the board in a more constructive way. The feedback that we had gotten, Rich and I had spoken, and I know he had had some communication with Judy too, would be that it might be helpful for the board to have some type of either cover sheet or really succinct document that shows how any action items we're asking the board to consider comport with or align with the district's goals. So these were just a couple of stabs.
Well, I think the purpose of a proposal sheet, as you said, it's a summary. A lot of times proposals come to the board with lots of information underneath it, and sometimes the intention might not be so obvious to some board members. If you're on the communications committee, if you're on the education committee, and you're not engaged in that that particular proposal, I think that this is a great idea. I liked both iterations. I think the first one, if we kept it in kind of a block form like that, I think I would like to pull the rationale underneath it and allow for a little more articulation of that. I think all the other things are just kind of factual, very short, and then the rationale would need a little more time. I think the second iteration that you put forward is kind of does that. So I guess I would go with the second iteration, but put the rationale second to last and the recommendation last. And of course, if the administration is bringing forward a recommendation, most likely it is they recommend it.
Yeah. I was even, I have also questioned at various times when we've entertained proposals, is, you know, obviously the preferred vendor is brought forth, but I would, you know, I also want to know if that pricing is in line and their offering is in line with other things that might be solutions, just to see if, you know, the pricing for what we're getting is accurate, for example.
So is that something that we would want? I think in the proposal, I would think we would want the final recommendation there, but we could still ask about the process.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Rather than having to write out, you know, that this
right.
one, that we
yes.
looked at these 10, of course there's a process and there's a policy and procedure for looking at vendors and all
okay.
that. Is there any other comment about that? Is this something that seems doable for the administration? Is it
very
is time?
Very
time?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially if it's for action items, of course. I mean, information items would require mm-hmm. this level of, you know, granular detail. I think if there's something like this in concert with the supplemental within the packet, would give people options about, you know, how to look at it in a way that's best for them.
I just think this way provides so much more intention to the process,
okay.
and I don't want anyone in the community to think for a second that we just sit up here and, you know, rubber stamp anything. We give a lot of thought to things that go into the work of what comes up to us as a recommendation. But I think this will provide a little bit of transparency to that process.
Should we put time on task on there too? Or?
Well, with that, everyone that usually comes to us with some type of presentation usually tells us why it's good.
Well,
and
this
they kind of tell us why it's good comparatively. I mean, Anthony does it, Allison does it. You know, they explain to us why they think it's the best, and I think they do a pretty good job of it with information.
Yeah, that process
as well.
Has usually been gone through before
yeah.
they bring anything to
before
us.
Before they bring anything to us.
So the next steps, would you bring one of those iterations back, kind of cleaned up?
Absolutely. We'll do it next month.
Then we'll approve that.
Do we need the recommendation column? I mean, it's kind of assumed that if they're presenting it, they're recommending it, right? I mean, would that ever be?
The actual form, like, I guess it's just a cover.
No, I like the recommendation piece here because sometimes that is nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, yes, of course, the board's being asked to, it's a black or white decision.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes it's the manner in which something's been put forth
mm-hmm.
that we would want to have, have it considered
okay.
or the context. I also really like, for what it's worth, and I realize these are going to change over the course of the coming year, but I love the part that requires us to align recommendations whenever possible to the strategic
yeah.
planning goal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because that should be the focus
mm-hmm.
of the board.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely something that we talked about in terms of the strategic plan. We are adopting this because it comports with
mm-hmm.
our strategic plan.
Great. We'll
excellent.
Work on it. Thank you, Allison, for the help.
It's going to be a great improvement.
Okay, we're getting there. So we also have for the board's consideration, this has been cleaned up a bit. It's the proposed committee of the whole town hall forum meeting calendar. We finally have the right years and months in place. But you can see from a quick overview, I'll share this a little bit with the, so the community members who are here know a little about it. Tentatively, the proposal would be the town hall forums would be held in September, November, January, and March, and then potentially in May, depending upon the board's decisioning, with those topics including, at the moment, safety and security, social-emotional learning, the possibility of a tri-board equity convening with districts 297. An important one would be standards-based grading or standards-based learning and universal design. So those would be the ones that we're currently recommending. We realize things change or there might be something more timely to work rather than shoehorn in. The other committee of the whole meetings include topics ranging from an information night on strategic planning to in December, hopefully the Roosevelt Middle School schedule review revision process, strategic planning updates. And then we get to the end of the year, we generally try to leave it a little bit flexible so the board can respond as necessary. By the end of the year, you'll also likely be hearing a presentation from the strategic planning team. And you know, that'll be time consuming. So we want to find a place to.
So we've committed to four town halls and we have five scheduled.
The fifth would be that tri-board equity
okay.
convening with
that's great.
297.
That's perfect.
And if it doesn't, you can always recoup that time.
Look forward to September 3rd, the next one, and actually look forward to all of them.
And then the last issue on here, I know the board had asked that we would place the information item about videotaping of D90 committee the whole meetings on the agenda for discussion.
Okay, I think we have the communications board member. Can you speak to us?
Well, this was something that came up when Ed, Don, and I met kind of in transition to the communications meeting, and it's something that I felt for the last couple of years would be a valuable transition for the board, recognizing that people do access information in a very different way now, and that although we have quite the turnout tonight, not everyone can make it. We have, you know, like as was discussed earlier, there is changing demographics in our community, and I think if we were to videotape the committee, the whole presentations and those meetings, there's a lot of good things that happen in those meetings, and the more we can get that information out to people, the more clear it is about what we're doing and the good things that we're doing. And I think it could avoid some of the misinformation that sometimes happens because people say, oh, well, I heard this, I heard that, when if there's something to go to and look to, and the audio, I think, can at times be challenging. And although the presentations are on the website, I think PowerPoints are meant to be presented, so it gives people the chance to really hear what our great presenters are talking about.
Well, if you look at the list of topics for our committee of the whole meetings, they are topics that every parent is close to their hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't think of one topic here that the D90 parent wouldn't want to know all about. And so the challenge is to get that information out, because not everybody can make it to a board meeting. So I think looking at a cost benefit, you know, looking at through that lens. And so is there a presentation on the actual?
I believe it's just at this point the information that kind of just the different costs and the different options for us to consider.
Dawn was tremendous about putting together, you know, some information, obviously, for the board to consider in terms of potential costs. Likely, if the board elected to go forward with just a video recording system, our director of technology indicated that could be done under probably $2,000 in sum total.
Is just what
operating.
Can you repeat, what is that for?
That would be for a video recording of the caliber that it could be posted.
Okay, good.
And it would be high quality.
No live stream.
The other quote seemed a little,
yeah,
a little high.
No,
I thought.
Audio
quote
seems really high.
It's the miking that's challenging with audio.
It's expensive.
To do something more robust than what's being done with audio recording, that's expensive. There is, with that video recording option, there is a monthly subscription fee, likely to Vimeo. That's the platform that would be most.
Yeah, the distribution platform, yeah. Like a YouTube kind of public.
We already use it?
We already have a Vimeo account.
Okay.
But we have to do this.
We'd have to pay monthly.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's an ongoing cost once you've implemented it.
Right.
So, Katie, what would you like to implement? What do we think? What's the next step?
I mean, I think that it is going back to Dawn and the technology staff to see what they think is a reasonable time frame. Because obviously, Dawn is busy and he's working on his other job. But I mean, I think it's something that the cost is not, the option two, the cost is not exorbitant.
So I think what we were looking for is some consensus from the board that, you know, or any, throw out any opposite, any, if anybody's opposed to this and moving forward for a proposal, you know, we have kind of the skeletal, this is kind of what are the actual costs in terms of time and getting it together. What do we have to do to get this thing together? Do we have a consensus that we should have that move forward on looking into?
Yeah, I'd like
to
see how and when we're going to implement it.
Yeah, I'm comfortable supporting option two.
I agree. Option three. Yeah,
options one and three aren't as desirable because just the price point that it comes in, but I would like to explore option two.
Is there any way to get the kids to do this for
us?
You have an AV club at Roosevelt.
I think it is a learning option.
What do other governmental entities do?
Dawn collected a little bit of local information about
yeah.
some nearby school districts. You know, 97 and 91, that's Forest Park, are not planning to do any recording for the coming year. But OPRF is intending to start video recording this month, so
mm-hmm.
that comports well.
Streaming or just recording?
Recording.
Just recording.
Dawn.
Recording.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're not streaming, they're recording and posting within 48 hours.
And are they using option two to do that? Do you know? Or?
I don't know
what they're using.
Okay.
Someone just views this on our website. They can't like record it themselves or anything, right? They can just view it on our website, and that's
it.
Yeah.
Someone
well,
can record.
Someone
can be Facebook live in this.
Right now.
Facebook live.
You don't want to be
recorded.
us.
So if it's a Vimeo,
you're being recorded right now.
That's not possible, right, ladies?
I wouldn't know how.
It's not like other technology where you can share the video. Of course, you'd be able to forward the video or have people, you know, send an email to someone and say, "Gosh, look at this great Cal presentation," and then link them to the page.
So, okay.
Yeah. And we would hope that actually, what a wonderful thing that more people are more aware.
There's so much great information that and preparation for the community as a whole presentation. I'm just amazed. Mm-hmm. Monthly. So I'm happy to get it out there.
It is interesting that 97 and 91 both say that they have no plans for the future. They've reviewed it in the past.
Maybe the cost.
It might be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you guys
right,
for
so
looking into that one.
Just so that I understand board consensus, it sounds like what we'll do is then we'll investigate the video recordings for Cal meetings using the option that we considered here, which would include purchasing just the system for recording and then the likely monthly Vimeo hosting fee. And we'll try to get this launched as soon as we can. I don't know if we'll have it for the September 3rd meeting. That's pretty quick. But hopefully we can have it ready for October.
Just one question, I guess, one further. Does option two mitigate or does it change any of the obligations of the secretary?
This is not, just so you know, this is not required. Open meeting audio recordings is not required. A previous board chose to have this. The closed session meetings is the only thing that's required. So I would assume if the video option has audio on it, it would probably replace that.
I would like to make sure that unless there's some other reason.
Really cool.
Well, for clarification, though, the video recording that the board is
for the Cal
is just the
for
Cal.
For the Cal meeting, so we would
just
still
the Cal.
Need
we'd still need this for the business meeting. That's fine.
Yeah.
And if we just consider, I mean, do we need that if we do this?
My suggestion would be for the first couple months that we do both.
Mm-hmm.
The first
well, it matters
months.
How the
quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
want to see the how the quality.
Yeah, let's do a pilot of the new thing and see if it could
just
actually.
Just trying to innovate and, you know.
We'll want to be thinking about things like miking. So, you know, if we had a presenter out in the audience, and whether we were here or in the auditorium, there are probably several elements that someone like Kevin and Dawn would think about that we wouldn't. But we'll get it figured out.
All right.
So.
Sounds great.
We're good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we are going to move to closed session now.
We thank you for
so
coming.
So thank you all
thank
for
you.
Coming this
good.
Evening.
Good night.
Thanks.
Have a good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you.
According to 5 Illinois CS120/2/410, the placement of individual students in special education programs and other matters relating to individual students.
Need a motion.
I need a motion to move to closed session.
So
how he says
second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.